This is your tech news briefing for Monday, January 6th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. Personal privacy versus public security. Governments, law enforcement, and tech companies have been in a battle over which is more important. Our reporter Valentina Pop will join us to explain how this conflict came to a head recently in a European spyware case. First, let's check some headlines. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says it would be bad karma to take a victory lap, but he might be doing it anyway. On Friday, the electric car company said it had sold over 360,000 vehicles in 2019, setting an annual sales record and beating its sales target for the year. Experts say that if Tesla continues to hit those targets, the company could go from quirky outsider to a major player in the auto industry. Tesla stocks hit an all-time high of over $454 in response on Friday, reflecting investors' renewed confidence in the brand. Former HBO chairman and CEO Richard Plepler has signed an exclusive deal with Apple's new streaming service, Apple TV+. Over 5 years, Plepler will produce original series, feature films, and documentaries for the service. It's one of several deals Apple has struck with big-name creatives recently in the hopes of pulling ahead in the streaming wars. Other producers on their list? Steven Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, and Oprah Winfrey. So here's an interesting story. Last October, 1,400 WhatsApp users got a message that their phones had been hacked by, quote, an advanced cyber actor. Some of those users were journalists, activists, and government officials. But at least one was a suspected terrorist. And it turns out the cyber actors doing the hacking were law enforcement officials from a Western European country. And they were using Israeli spyware. Our reporter Valentina Pop joins us to explain. Valentina, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what this story entails. It sounds like you've got a potential terror plot, European officials hot on the trail, but then they're thwarted by WhatsApp?
Yes, they have acquired spyware. They have been tracking this terror suspect for a few days when WhatsApp, owned by Facebook, sent these messages to some of their 1,400 phones that had been hacked. And what happened in that moment was that the suspect's phone went dark. So it means the person either updated or discarded his phone. And as this law enforcement official told us, it was really the only way to gather information about a potential terror attack around the winter holidays, so Christmas and New Year's. This is usually a period of time where there's increased terror activity in Europe. There have been multiple attacks in previous years on Christmas markets and things like that. So it was really worrying for this particular law enforcement official, and it kind of shows the unintended consequences, really, because we're not saying that Facebook knew and did it on purpose. Not at all. I mean, this law enforcement agency in this particular country wasn't even allowed to tell Facebook about it and couldn't reach out. And so there's this just this complex situation in which there are all these obligations on one hand on the tech companies, and also this reality of encrypted communications.
Now, the law enforcement officials, according to your story, were using something called NSO Group. Can you tell us a little bit more about this company and what they do?
So this company is an Israeli company that has been embroiled in some controversies because they have sold this particular spyware to various governments around the world. And in some instances, human rights activists have tracked that some governments in the Middle East, India, and other countries have deployed this software to track dissidents, journalists, political opponents. But the company itself is saying that they only sell it to governments, and whenever there are breaches or whenever there is misuse of their software, they follow up and they try to fix that. But this is the reason why there may have been also this unprecedented way of letting users know that there was a security breach, because normally what happens is there is a software update, maybe there is a press release from the company. NSO Group had a previous similar interaction with Apple 2 years back, and then Apple went the regular route rather than sending each individual hacked phone an individual message saying your phone may have been compromised. And also Facebook has sued NSO Group on that day.
So on the very same day that they let users know, Facebook filed a lawsuit against NSO. So it was very clear that they knew NSO spyware was involved in the hacking.
Exactly. They had been trying to figure out for a few months by that point, and there had been a security patch released in May when they were somehow alerted to the potential hacking of several phone numbers and so on. And during May and October, they figured out that it was NSO Group.
So it looks like law enforcement officials have their hands tied when communication is happening on these encrypted services. What options are left? Is there any indication that law enforcement and tech companies could work out some kind of a compromise?
I mean, there is currently a big push in the U.S. Congress to create some sort of a backdoor for all these apps and communication tools for law enforcement. But Facebook, at least, is definitely pushing against that. So it's a bit of a standoff at the moment in terms of what the Europeans, or let's say other U.S. allies and agencies there and law enforcement there, what they can do. At the moment, there are negotiations of like opening quicker judicial ways and usual legal ways to have some sort of access, but it's pretty much all up in the air at the moment.
You mentioned before that it wasn't just the terror suspect in the group that had been hacked. There were journalists and activists as well. So this brings up an important question. There is no international legal framework for surveillance, right?
No, indeed. I mean, as far as Western Europe, the procedures are quite clear. So in this case, for instance, there was a judge who oversaw and authorized the deployment of specific surveillance methods. But clearly, not all countries around the world have such judicious procedures when it comes to the rights also of suspects and the identity of those two. And speaking of identity, NSO says over and over again that they are not privy of the identity of those people. So once they have sold their software to the government agencies, they pretty much don't know how it is used.
Valentina, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.